tonight, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15 is where our text will begin tonight. Deuteronomy, of course, is towards the beginning of your Bibles. If you want to use the church Bible, you can find it on page 223. Deuteronomy chapter 18, page 223. We're going to continue tonight in our regular evening series on the Christian's identity. The Bible says that as believers, we are in Christ. We are united to Christ. Well, what does that mean? That's who we are, but what does that mean? And so last time we talked about how we are saints in Christ. And a saint is someone who has been set apart for God and who increasingly, by God's grace, lives like God. And tonight we're going to talk about how we are prophets in Christ, which may not be exactly what you were expecting in this series, but I hope that you'll find some helpful for you tonight. We'll be looking at a variety of different passages, and so you will want to have the outline, and it does have cross-references and quotations that I'll be referring to on the back of it. I'm going to read from the New King James again tonight. Let's give our attention as I read Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19. This is the Word of God. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet, like you, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. May the Lord bless his word as we consider it tonight. When you think of officers of the church, your minds probably go directly to the elders and the deacons, and rightly so. They are the ones who have been called by God to serve the church as leaders in particular ways. The elders have specific responsibilities in the church, in their office that they are to fulfill. They are to shepherd, they are to teach, they are to care, they are to pray, and so forth. Likewise, the deacons have specific responsibilities to fulfill in their office as well. They're to administer our financial resources. They're to care for the poor and needy and so forth. We expect the elders and deacons to do these things because they're the tasks that come with their office. Well, what I want you to see tonight is that whether or not you hold the office of elder or the office of deacon, you do, biblically speaking, have an office, if you will, in the church. It's not an official office, per se. We believe that the Bible says that the New Testament church only has two offices, elder and deacon. But it's a kind of office, nonetheless. As believers in Christ, you have been given a particular calling that comes with a particular responsibility. And that is, you are a prophet in Christ. And so as you can see on the outline, the call that we need to take up is that we need to fulfill our prophetic office, if I can use that word, by receiving and boldly declaring the Word of God. Fulfill your prophetic office by receiving and boldly declaring the Word of God. Well, I want you to consider tonight that Christ is the ultimate prophet. In the Old Testament, of course, there were numerous prophets. Moses is a good example. He's the one spoken of here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. But you can think of many others, and many are probably already coming to your mind. Samuel and Isaiah and Elijah and Ezekiel and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi and on down the list. These are many of the men that God had called to serve him as prophets long ago. And as prophets, they had the job of declaring the word and the will of God to the people. And they would sometimes do that by foretelling or by predicting the future. And frequently, they would also do that by forthtelling or by declaring the message. That is, they would take the message from God that he then wanted them to preach to the people and to share with those who needed to hear it. And that was before the Bible was completed. That was how God's revelation often came to the people of God and to the people of the world. It was through the prophets of God. Well, as such, we see that the prophets were anointed by God. Now, we don't see that point being made as explicitly in the Bible as we do, say, of the priests or the kings, who were also anointed by God. But we have a good reason, nonetheless, to believe that the prophets were also anointed. I'm not going to read these verses, but for one, in 1 Kings 19:16, we see that the prophet Elijah was commanded to anoint the new prophet Elisha. What's more, in Psalm 105, verse 15, the prophets are referred to as, quote, the anointed ones. And so for these reasons, we believe that the prophets, though we don't see as many examples of it in Scripture, were also anointed in their office. This is what set them apart as the prophets of God, and this is what signified the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit with them. I don't have this in your outline, but a good example of this is actually found in 1 Samuel 16:13. It's speaking of David's anointing as king, but it communicates clearly the idea of anointing that was given to kings, that was given to priests, that was also given to prophets. Now there we read 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So a prophet was a man called by God and anointed by the Spirit to proclaim the word of God to the people. Well, here in Deuteronomy 18, we're told that a greater ultimate prophet would one day come in the future. And this was a prophet who would far excel Isaiah and Moses and Samuel and the others. Now look again here at verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. So there's going to be a future prophet, or there was going to be a future prophet, a prophet who would speak the words of God, a prophet who would be like Moses, and this prophet is to be heard, the text says. Well, who is this prophet? Boys and girls, I'm sure you already know the answer to that question. Of course, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the prophet we're reading about here in Deuteronomy 18. If you look on your outline, I've given you Matthew 17, verse 5. This is the time of Jesus' transfiguration. And look at what we're told in this verse. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him." Again, this is what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. God the Father spoke out from heaven, and what did he say? He said first that Jesus is his beloved Son, the one in whom he is well pleased, and that we are to do what? We are to hear him. We are to hear him. And that's a clear reference right back to Deuteronomy 18, where God said that we are to hear the greater prophet. God is the Father is declaring here for all in the world to know that Jesus Christ is that ultimate prophet. We didn't read it, but this is also testified on the Mount of Transfiguration by the presence of Elijah and Moses. Two of the greatest prophets from the Old Testament were also brought to be with Jesus and some of the disciples at that point. And that's because God was making it clear. Moses and Elijah, you were great prophets. But this is the one we are to hear and listen to. Jesus is that greater prophet, the fulfillment of Deuteronomy 18. In fact, if you read the early chapters of Acts and you look at the apostles' preaching, that same point is made numerous times. So the New Testament leaves no question in our minds about this, that Jesus is the greater prophet, the one who was called by God to preach the word of God
to the people.
And when you have that in mind, then you look at the rest of Scripture and we see that, as such, Jesus was also the one who was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this. That's exactly what happened at his baptism. As the Holy Spirit came upon him, we read in Matthew chapter 3, so the Spirit was enabling him and equipping him for his messianic mission. The Heidelberg Catechism, we'll be looking at a couple of times tonight, but it summarizes it very well in question 31. And it asks the question, why is he called Christ, that is, anointed, or meaning anointed? And look at what the answer is. Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. So to be the Christ is to be the anointed one. And as the anointed Christ, we're told here that Jesus has been called and empowered to do what? To be our chief prophet. Our chief prophet. And we see that played out for us throughout the New Testament, don't we? During his earthly ministry, Jesus went about from city to city and people group to people group doing what? Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He brought light to those sitting in the darkness. He revealed the way that leads to heaven. Not only that, he expounded the law and what God requires. And so he showed people not only how to live forever, but also how to live today. If you remember from our series in the Farewell Discourse, Jesus said that he came to reveal the Father. And when we talked about that, I think a couple of times in that series, that is, he came to reveal the Father's character, to reveal the Father's works, and of course, to reveal the Father's salvation. And that's what comprised so much of his time on earth, because he is the ultimate prophet. And so, as God said repeatedly, that means we must hear Jesus. We must listen to what he says, believe what he says, and put it into practice. So you think of some of the things that Jesus says. He says that you are to repent of your sins, turn away from them, and trust in him alone for salvation. If he's your chief prophet, that's what you are to do. That's what I am to do. And Jesus calls you to study God's law and to follow its precepts in all of your thoughts, words, and deeds. That's what you're to do, because he's your chief prophet. Jesus calls you to worship the God of heaven, who alone is the one who's wondrous in his ways and all of his works. That's what we are to do. And so we have to pause and ask ourselves the question, am I listening to Jesus? Am I listening to him? Deuteronomy 18:19 says, if you don't hear and obey what Jesus speaks in the Father's name, God will require it of you. Because the ultimate prophet is to be heard. He's to be learned from. He's to be submitted to. He's to be trusted and obeyed because he speaks God's perfect word to us. I'll occasionally remind my children that whether you like what your teacher is saying or not, it's always right and in your best interest to listen and obey. And so if you decide to start ignoring what the teacher says, even if you don't like it, things are not going to go as well for you. If you decide to reject or rebel against what the teacher says, of course, things are not going to go well. Things only get worse. So if you want your day to go well, you want to have joy, you want to learn a lot, you want to have good interactions with those in your classroom, that's the way to go. You listen and you follow the instructions. And in the same way, right, if we want to do what is right, we want to do what is in our best interest of every moment of every day, we need to listen to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is always beneficial. I was reminded this week of what Peter said to the Lord. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Eternal life. And so Jesus' words as the ultimate prophet are not just bare commands and laws and rules for us to keep. They are the words of grace and life and blessing. They're the words that improve your relationships. They're the words that give you peace in a frightening storm. They're the words that help you make sense of life in a fallen world.
Better yet, they're the words that reconcile you to God, that protect you from evil, and that lead you day by day to the promised land. So we need to listen to Him and obey what He says. He is the ultimate prophet.
Well, as we come to our second point on the outline, and as we think of our Christian identity in particular, let's go on to see that you are also a prophet as a Christian. And if you're in Christ, this is part of your identity. So going back to what I said earlier, a prophet is someone called by God, anointed by the Spirit to proclaim God's word to the world. And according to Scripture, not only does that description describe Isaiah and the prophets of old, or even Jesus, it also describes you and me as those who trust in Christ today. For one, Scripture says that you and I have also been anointed by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:20, speaking to believers, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now, that's speaking of the Spirit. As believers, we've been anointed. The Spirit has come to dwell in us, and He remains with us at all times. And what is the purpose of that anointing? It is to teach us and to equip us as the people of God. That's true for all Christians. Male, female, young, old, ordained, unordained, doesn't matter. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. Or you could say you share in the anointing of Christ by faith and by virtue of your union with Him. In addition, we see in Scripture that you've also been called by God to proclaim His Word. You've been anointed by the Spirit, but you've also been called to proclaim the Word. Just give you a couple of examples here. Matthew 28:19-20. Very familiar words. Words, though, we can never forget. Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." And so that's Christ's commission for all, to all who follow Him. Go and make disciples. By doing what? By teaching people all that Jesus Christ has commanded. Look also at Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And that's speaking, yes, specifically of our psalm singing. As we sing the psalms, we are teaching and admonishing one another. But it applies to so much more. As Christians, we are to take the word of God and do what with it? Teach and encourage other people with it. Those are both verses that speak to all Christians. They're not verses that apply only to the pastors or the elders among us. If you're in Christ, that's what God calls you to do tonight. And thankfully, if you're in Christ, that's what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do as well. One author puts it this way: the Father gives the job, the Spirit qualifies us to do the job. Praise God for that. Again, look at the Heidelberg Catechism, this time question 32. We looked at question 31. Look at 32. It asks, "But why art thou called a Christian?" "Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of His anointing, that so I may confess His name." Now, remember what question 31 said. It said that Jesus, as the Christ, was called and anointed to serve as the chief prophet. We read that earlier just a second ago. Now, in the next question, 32, what does it say about those who are in Christ? It says that we share the anointing of Christ so that we may profess His name. That's the work of a prophet. That's the work of a prophet. A prophet confesses or testifies to the name of God. A prophet bears witness to God's truth, to God's commands, and to God's grace. Because you see, the Heidelberg Catechism rightly understands that to be a Christian is to be a prophet. Right? The two always go together. Now, not a prophet in exactly the same sense as the prophets of the Old Testament, like Isaiah and others. For example, none of us will be given, nor should we ever expect to be given, new special revelation from God. And not a prophet in exactly the same sense as Jesus, the ultimate prophet, either. As a Messiah, he had a unique calling, and not every aspect of that calling applies to his people. But a true prophet, nonetheless.
One of the great joys of parenthood is seeing little versions of yourself in your kids. Now, when your sins start coming out of them, it's not as encouraging. But setting that aside, it's often encouraging. I love that part about being a dad. You see all these similarities. Facial features are similar, eye color, or personality traits. As they get older, you start seeing yourself more and more in these kids, because they came from you, and so they are these little versions of yourself. Well, remember, when the world first witnessed the followers of Christ, that's what they thought of them. Right? They saw people who spoke like Christ, who acted like Christ, you could say who looked like Christ, and so what did they call them? They called them Christians. That wasn't a very nice term at the time, but they called them Christians because they were little versions of Christ. And what we need to understand this evening is that we're given the same prophetic calling as those little versions of Christ, if you want to put it that way. Right, this is what the Heidelberg's Catechism is getting at in question 32. If Christ as the anointed one is the prophet, then who are we as the Christians, the little Christ, those united to him? We share in that calling and in that anointing, and we are prophets as well. Kevin DeYoung says, as little Christ, ordained by the same Father and anointed by the same Spirit, we are to fulfill in a lesser way the same offices as our namesake. That's who we are as Christians, and as such, we're given the same offices. We are priests and we are kings. I guess that's where we'll be going in the weeks to come. But we're also prophets. We're prophets. In fact, one author I read this week said you could summarize the entire Christian life by saying that you are a prophet, priest, and king. Right? Now, we're not called to prophesy, if you will, in the same way as prophets among ourselves. For instance, as a pastor, I'm called to proclaim God's word in a way that the vast majority of you are not called to proclaim God's word. What's more, some of us may have a greater gifting for teaching or greater gifting for evangelism than others among us. But no matter what, all of us who are in Christ are called by God, anointed by the Spirit, to quote-unquote prophesy, to share and proclaim to others what God has revealed in the Bible. Right, we're to tell the world, those in the church, those out of the church, the character of God, the truth of God, the works of God, the promises of God, the law of God, the judgment of God, the comforts of God, the blessings of God, and especially the gospel of God. And we're to do that from the written word of God alone. Theodorus van der Grow, good old Dutchman, says, prophesying in its essence consists in teaching and instructing others regarding the way of salvation, and in proclaiming God's counsel or word and perfections to the world. Let me think of it that way. It's not that challenging. See, is it? This is our calling. By our words, we're to speak the truth of God to the world. By our works, we're to adorn the truth in all that we do. Right, so I want to ask you, do you ever think of yourself as a prophet? You can use that wrongly. Don't use it wrongly. But do you think of yourself as a prophet? The Bible says you should. As a Christian, God has ordained to use you as the instrument through which he will bring light to those sitting in darkness today. Do you realize that? The instrument through which he will teach other people, edify other people, correct other people, guide them, warn them, comfort them, and praise God, save them. As a Christian, you're a prophet in Christ and like Christ. And so as one author says, you must live prophetically. And that brings us to our third and final point on the outline. A prophet receives and boldly declares the word of God. Now, by way of application, as we close here, I want to break down this task of a prophet into three parts for us to consider. First, a prophet receives the word of God. A prophet receives the Word of God.
In the Old Testament, if you look at the Old Testament, that's always the case. To speak the Word, they first had to hear the Word. They had to be given the message God had for them before they could ever declare that message to the people. Right? Because it wasn't their message. It's always God's message. And they are passing on what God had for them to say and what He wanted people to hear. So it always started with hearing the message for themselves. And that's always how it works for a prophet, even for you and for me. If we are to serve as faithful prophets, we must first be faithful listeners. And for us, that means we need to be students of the book. We've got to be students of the book, where we read it, study it, and meditate upon it. We need to avail ourselves of every opportunity that's in front of us to learn the Word of God. Put in a plug here, we've got many midweek Bible studies starting this week. What an opportunity for you to dig deeper into the Word of God. Preaching, as you have opportunity. We need to know the Word of God if we are to share the Word of God. So ask yourself the honest question, what does my Bible intake look like right now? Right? How does it compare with my intake of, say, the news? How does it compare with my intake of Instagram or Facebook? Are there any adjustments that need to be made? What does my Bible intake look like? We all expect that the pastor should know the Bible, rightly so. But if we're all prophets, we all need to know the Bible. A prophet receives the Word of God. Second, a prophet declares the Word of God. He declares the Word of God. That is, he doesn't just receive the message for himself. He goes on to share that same message with others who need to hear it. He doesn't just take in the message, he pours out the message. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. That's exactly what the prophets did. They never held back. They spoke forth, saying whatever God wanted them to say. In fact, that was true for Jesus. We talked about this in our series on the Farewell Discourse. John 14:24, Jesus says, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." So Jesus, He's the Son of God, but even as He comes and preaches on earth, He's preaching the Father's Word. And that's exactly what we're to do as those who are in Christ. We're not to go about proclaiming our own opinions for all to hear. We're to speak what God says in His Word. We're to pass on this message that He's given to us, to those who are around us, to particular people in particular circumstances. And that's what God expects of us as we're able in our personal conversations throughout the week, right? In our family worship, right? In our Sunday school class, in our community involvement, really in everything that we do. We're to evangelize with the Word. We're to instruct with the Word. We're to comfort and build up with the Word. And we're to do so boldly, which is the third and final task of a prophet. All you have to do is read the Old Testament to see that the prophets were often persecuted and hated. There's no secret about that. So the hardness of men's hearts often led them to hate the prophets. They did not want to hear what the prophets had to say, and so they often tried to silence the prophets. Now you can think of what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23:31. He said, "Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." And of course, that was exactly the same thing that happened in Jesus' earthly ministry. Not everyone wanted to hear what He had to say to them at all. So what did they do? They mocked Him. They avoided Him. They plotted to kill Him. The Scripture makes it quite clear. This is also part and parcel of what it means to be a prophet. You will not be popular in the eyes of the world. People will get angry at you, and people will think less of you. But you're still to say what God wants you to say. Lovingly, not obnoxiously, as you have opportunity, to the best of your ability, but even at risk to yourself. We cannot be silent.
That's why courage is a requisite of being a prophet. If you're going to proclaim the message that not everyone wants to hear, you have to be bold.
A couple of months ago, we had an elder and deacon ordination service in our congregation, and we had those three men come up front, and they took their ordination vows. And one of those vows was this: do you believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of men and nations, and that in loyalty and obedience to Him, it is our duty to follow the noble example of the faithful confessors and martyrs of Jesus in their witness for divine truth, and in their sacrifices and labors to establish the kingdom of God on earth? And you have to ask yourself, why would we put that question in front of our elders and deacons? That they would follow the example of faithful confessors and martyrs in their witness for divine truth. Because this is part of their calling as officers in the church. Come what may, they are to stand for the truth. And friends, so are we all. Right, so this morning, you can think of the new members we had up front. And they took a bunch of membership vows. That was not one of them. But we could have easily added that to the list. Because it's not just the leaders of the church who are to follow the example of faithful confessors and martyrs and their witness for divine truth. This is what every single Christian is to do. This is the calling. We are to courageously stand for the truth, even if we suffer for it. Why? Because like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Jesus, we are the prophets of the living God. And the prophets never shrink away from speaking the word. They declare it boldly. So as a prophet, this is very practically what you're to do. First, you are to hear the word of God. Second, you are to declare the word of God. And third, you're to do so not embarrassingly, not timidly, but boldly. It can be fearful. It can be hard. But remember, you share in the anointing of Jesus Christ, which means you have the Holy Spirit. It's a gracious gift from your Savior. Jesus, the one who faithfully proclaimed the word, even fulfilling the word by his own death on the cross, has given you the Spirit as your source of strength. And so knowing what you've been called to do and who you have been indwelt and anointed by, fulfill your prophetic office by receiving and boldly declaring the word of God. May the Lord help you and me to do that, and may He give us, even if we don't want it, opportunities to do that in the days to come. Let's pray. Lord, help us to see ourselves more and more as prophets in Christ. We pray that you protect us from wrongly thinking of ourselves as prophets. We know that there are many in the world today who claim to be prophets, and we run away from that mentality. Lord, we have your word. We're not waiting for any new revelation from you. But Lord, you've called us to take this word, to know it like the back of our hands, to have it so inside of us that it's pouring out of us in all that we do and think and say. We pray, Lord, that as you've called us to teach one another, to build up the body with your word, to bring the gospel of your word to the lost people of the world, give us opportunities to do that, whether it's an encouraging note in an email, whether it's a conversation with a coworker, no matter what it is, help us to have those opportunities and to be ready for them. Help us and forgive us for the times that we're embarrassed of you, the times that we care more what other people think of us than what you think of us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Give us that holy boldness for you and for the task of declaring your word. Help us not to be obnoxious or rude. Help us to have love for all to whom we would speak. Lord, help us to be faithful and to follow that example of those faithful confessors and martyrs who have stood faithfully in their witness for divine truth. May we be those people by your grace and by the anointing power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.